stand here as a son of light. I stand here as the voice of God. I stand here as Jesus. And the word that I speak to you this morning, just in case you want to feel pressure, has eternal consequences. What will I talk about? Light or night? What have you chosen, or what will you choose? If night, you're probably thinking, what sort of a question is that? What's he talking about? But if it's light that you've chosen, you'll know exactly what I'm on about. You see, that's the way the Bible's written. Things don't always appear as they seem. Jesus uses a lot of metaphors. For example, eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. What's he on about? Is he talking about cannibalism? Well, maybe that's okay for back then when he was physically walking around. You could have taken a bite out of him or had a drink of his blood. But how does that apply to us? He's not here. We can't eat him and we can't drink him. So how does that apply to us? And as for hating your mother and father, or your brothers and sisters and family, your wife, your kids, or even yourself. The fifth commandment, honour your father and mother so it will go well with you in the land and you'll have a long life. And in John 15, this is my command from Jesus, love each other. So you can see that it's a little bit, the Bible's a little bit confusing. It's as though we're walking around in the dark. Let me turn the light on. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as I stand here this morning, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit so that I might speak clearly and truthfully about what you have revealed in the Gospel of John. I pray, Lord, that you would open hearts and minds to hear your word and take it in. Lord, I pray that we may eat your flesh and drink your blood, because you are the living word that came down from heaven. And as we feed on your word, we become like you. We have your agenda. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in us this day through your word. Amen. You have to know Jesus to understand Jesus. What would happen if, say, you got to the station at 9:10 in the morning to catch a 9 o'clock train? You'd miss it. Time is very important, and it was important to Jesus. Jesus was running to a strict schedule. He was running to God's timetable. And right through the Gospel of John, we can hear Jesus saying, "My time has not yet come." But in this passage of Scripture, something changes. Remember the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turned the water into wine. His mother went up to him, Mary went up to him and said, "They've run out of wine, do something about it." And he said, "Why do you trouble me, woman? My time has not yet come." And in John chapter 7, the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus' brothers say, "You're going up to the feast? You're the Son of God. Get up there and reveal yourself. That's what you should do." And Jesus says to him, "Any time is right for you, because the world doesn't hate you. The world hates me because I tell it that what it does is evil." He said, "My time has not yet come." But he does. He goes up to the feast and he preaches in the temple. He talks to the people. And even after talking to them, they can't lay a hand on him because his time has not yet come. But here we find in John 12:23, Jesus replies, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." What has changed, and why has the hour come? In chapter 10, Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I have to bring them along also. They will listen to my voice, and I will give them eternal life." When Jesus talks about sheep of a different pasture, he's talking about anyone other than the Jewish nation. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about all the nations. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. And that's no small thing, because Israel was the apple of God's eye, not all the other nations. Yet Jesus says, "What I am going to do is for the whole world." In verse 20, it talks about some Greeks coming up. "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.'" Now, they didn't just want to see Jesus. In this context, "see" means they wanted an interview. They wanted to talk to Jesus. They wanted to find out who he was. It was these Greeks that were the sign that Jesus' time had come. They represent the Gentiles, which include all people. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Now, like Kamal was speaking to the children this morning, we know that if we've got a seed and just keep it, nothing happens. But if we plant it in the ground, if we bury it, it will die, and then a miracle takes place. It grows into an entirely new plant, which will produce thousands more seeds. Jesus says in verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." Did Jesus consider backing out? Did he have a moment of weakness? I don't think so, no. He was just reasoning. He had a date with destiny. John 8, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Do you have the light of life? Do you understand what I am saying to you this morning? Do you love reading your Bible? Do you understand it? Do you love your life? I love mine. Who loves their life? Do you love your life? Everyone love their life? Verse 25, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it." So right there, we're all condemned to hell. "While anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now, how does that make sense? We have to hate our life to get eternal life. Or if we love our life, we're going to lose it and go to hell. So that's You have to understand Jesus and know him to make sense of what he says. If you're walking around in the dark, if you're living in darkness, you can't understand God's word. The world offers temporary luxury. Jesus offers permanent perfection. Don't settle for second best. Choose the light of light, the light of life, not the night of death. Don't hang on to what doesn't last. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. Verses 39 to 40. We go back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah. God blinds the eyes and hardens the heart. But let me tell you that that's not an instant process. First you choose. You choose whether you want to follow God. You choose whether you want to know God. If you reject God and go about living your own life and doing your own thing, yeah, God has got all the time in the world. He just slowly steps back and lets you have your own way, and your heart becomes hard to God. It becomes hard to his word. You can't see properly. You only see yourself and the life you are living. So, yeah, God hardens the heart and blinds the eyes. But there's still hope, because even when these verses were read out in the gospel, the Pharisees, there were still teachers of the law. Although they were walking in darkness, they believed what Jesus is saying. So yeah, God's hardening the hearts and blinding the eyes, but there's people still believing. So just because you're walking around in darkness and living in darkness does not mean that you belong to the dark. You still have a choice to come out of darkness. God doesn't want you to hate your life. He just wants you to love him more. It's all about choices and priorities. Jesus came that you may have life and have it to the full, but you can't have it both ways. Jesus' way is not the world's way. The world says you're the most important person in your life and you are entitled to absolutely everything that you want. Jesus says no. Jesus says, I am the most important thing in your life. God is the most important. And you put me at number one, and I'll see that you have all these other things as well. When we go on holidays, it's nice to stay in a 5-star motel. We go into it, and it's just absolutely luxurious, and we enjoy it while it's there, but we know we have to let it go. We know it's temporary. We enjoy it while it's there, and then we leave. If you go to a nice vacation spot up the mountains to Katoomba or somewhere by the seaside, you enjoy God's creation. The ocean, the wind, the waves, up the mountains, the trees, the valleys. It's all absolutely breathtaking. But we have to come home. We have to leave it behind. We enjoy it while it's there, and we have memories about it, but we let it go and we come home. I tell you the truth, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. God's word can only be understood if you walk in the life. Remember how God sent a plague of snakes to Israel when they were in the desert? Because they were doing the wrong thing, they were sinning, and the snakes started biting people and they started dying. Moses prayed to God, and God said, make a snake, stick it up on a pole, and anyone who gets bitten, if they look to the snake, they will be saved. Jesus said, when he is raised up above the earth, all who look to him will be saved. Jesus is saying that he is the snake. He is saying he is the word. He is God. It wasn't the snake that saved them. That's just foolishness. It's not Jesus hanging on a cross that saves us. What saves is believing God's word, which just happens to be Jesus, because his word says so, and we have to believe it. But you can only believe that if you know Jesus, if you understand him, and if you walk in the light. It's as simple as that. If you believe, you belong to God. If not, you don't belong to God. The Jews didn't get it. They can't see past this lifetime. They have the word of God, but they just can't understand it. In Psalm 110, it says, you are a priest forever, talking about Jesus. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And God promises in Isaiah that the Messiah will reign on David's throne forever. So naturally, the Jews, the Pharisees, they misunderstand. If you're the Messiah, how can you say you're going to be lifted up? How can you say you're leaving us? When the Christ comes, he'll be with us forever. So they don't understand God's word because they walk in darkness and their hearts are hard. Back in the opening verses of John, it says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Again, I ask you, do you understand God's word? If you are a Christian, you must walk in the light. You can only understand God's word if you are walking in the light. I tell you the truth. The words I speak to you today will condemn you to hell on the last day if you don't believe what I am telling you. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. God's word is alive. God's word is Jesus. God's word is spirit. They're not just words on a page. When we stand up and proclaim God's word, we are speaking with the voice of God. Put your trust in the light while you still have it, so that you may become sons of light. Which comes back to a difference in lifestyle and a difference in priority. We are alive. We are children of God. We have God living in us. We have his Holy Spirit. And when we speak to people about God, it is God speaking through us. It's not us speaking. We are to enjoy what he has given us in this world. But it's not the be-all and end-all. You have to be prepared to let it go. God is the most important thing in my life. He should be the most important thing in everyone's life. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. If you are a Christian, you not only walk in the light, you are light. The light was not stained. Jesus was going back to his Father in heaven so that the Holy Spirit could be sent into all the world. And that's what he was saying when he said, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus is saying that he has to die so that he can go back to his Father, and his Spirit will go out into all the world, and all those who believe, all those who accept his word, will have his Spirit in them. You will become a new plant. You will become a new creation. You will become a part of God. "But I tell you the truth," John 16:7, "it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." We are part of the living God as Christians. How then can you walk in darkness if you claim to be a Christian and are one with God? For those of you who choose to reject the light, the very word you reject will condemn you on the last day, and you will live in eternal night, cut off from the love of God forever and ever. Does that mean that we don't sin or make mistakes? Does it mean if we do the wrong thing, we don't belong to God? Does it mean we don't have the light? No. It means that we are sinful people living in a fallen world, and we need to struggle with our sin every day and continually seek God's forgiveness. Living in the light means confessing remaining darkness. Don't be condemned by the word I have spoken. Choose the light, not the night. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit does give us understanding. Lord, you speak and we listen. And we pray that we would take your word to our heart, and that it would change us. That it would change us into the people that you would have us be, into your treasured possession. One flock, one shepherd. Be with us today and change our hearts, Lord, that we might live for your glory. Amen. Now, I'm running a risk, but are there any questions? No pressure. Yes, Brett. Saying that at all. I'm saying that God will give you understanding if you ask him to give you understanding. If there's something in God's word that you don't understand, you go to someone who you think might be more knowledgeable about these things. You go to the Bible, you go to Jesus, you go to Kamal, you go to one of the elders and discuss it. And you will get understanding.